All right, it's Jander with the Contemporary Horsemanship Podcast again, and today I wanted to do another book review. Today's book review is Ray Hunt's book, Think Harmony with Horses, an in-depth study of the horse-man relationship. So I had a lot of recommendations to read this book, not necessarily personally, but I've heard it a lot online and just like through videos, like, or other trainers have mentioned it and they've said stuff about it, and I've just heard a lot about it. So I hadn't actually had a person come and be like, hey, you should read this book, but I have heard it mentioned a lot. So, and it's pretty popular. Like, obviously Ray Hunt was pretty popular, or is still pretty popular, I guess. I'm not really sure. But I think like Buck Brandeman and those types of trainers still kind of refer to him. It was somewhat similar to the last book that I reviewed, the Mark Rashid book, Horses Never Lie, or Don't Lie, one of the others of those. But so it was like, yeah, Never Lie, that's what it was. So it was very similar to that book, but unfortunately, I thought Mark's book was much better. I was actually kind of disappointed with this with Ray Hunt's book. I expected a lot more from it, probably because I've heard a lot about it and like heard it mentioned a ton, trainers talk about it, and I was like, okay, like it was kind of overhyped, I guess is what I would say about it. It is very short, like that is a good part of it, but like right on the title it says it's an in-depth study, and I just didn't really get that. I didn't get really any relationship stuff at all from it. And I mean, you guys might think differently, but this is my experience with it. So yeah, I'll just kind of go into a little bit of details. Like overall, I would say that I was disappointed with it, but there was some good things in it. I mean, if you were going to choose to read this over other books, I would just say this is probably not worth your time. But I'm going to talk about the details a little bit. So overall, the descriptions were really wordy and really kind of difficult to understand. So they were very vague, and I think that was probably the worst part about it. He would talk about like feeling of the horse and going with the horse, and like I kind of understand where he's coming from because I've been riding for a lot of years, and like still parts of it were too vague for me to understand. Like, okay, well, what exactly should I do? Like, I felt like there was way too much room for interpretation. And with horses, especially when you're learning stuff, like that's, for me, not great. Like, I don't love that. I don't like to teach like that. I like to be very specific and very straightforward, or at least try to be as much as I can, so that people who are trying to learn from me really have a good understanding of what they're doing and why they're doing it and why it works. And with this, I was just like, okay, what exactly do I do? Like, he'd be like, well, when you're riding in the saddle, you need to like feel your horse. I'm like, okay, like with your seat bones, with your legs, like what are you supposed to do specifically with your body? Like he would talk about like swinging the, like kind of acting like a swing to bring the life up in your horse and create some more energy for the horse to go forward and come back, which I get is like a metaphor, but I feel like that can come out in many, many different ways and not get the desired result that you're intending, because a lot of people will really push with their seat and they'll really like use their seat bones like as a swing, and they'll really push into their saddle, and that's not good riding. And it's like, it's just, there's just too much room to mess that up, I guess, is what I'm going with. Because yes, you want to move with your horse, but you don't want to be like swinging your hips and like really pushing your horse like to go forward with every step. And I definitely could see how someone reading this could get that from it. Lots of things were talked about multiple times too, and I was, without explaining it, like the life thing. And I know like Pirelli and other people use that term as well, which has always been vague to me. Like I feel like Pirelli is vague as well. It'd be like, oh, bring the life up in your horse. Okay, for someone who even has quite a bit of experience, that leaves a ton of stuff open. Okay, so should I use the whip? Should I use my feet? Should I use spurs? Should I kick him? Like, what do I do? Like, what do I bring the life up in? Like, for me, like, I need more details there. I need more details to understand what it is. So, just, this is my personal opinion on it. So you can still read it. It's really short. Like, it's only like, let's see how many pages it is. It's less than 100 pages. And like half of it is, yeah, it's like 80 four pages, and half of it is him answering questions. That's with the intro, the answering questions, the conclusions, and pictures. So probably actually only like 30 pages of his actual in-depth thing, which was like, I was like, okay, well, it has to be amazing because it's tiny and it's an in-depth study, but that just wasn't the case. So anyways, this is my personal opinion. If you love this book, that's fantastic. But if you are thinking about it, you're on the fence about it, I'll just skip it. So some other things that I want to talk about, I already kind of talked about the bringing the life up. The one thing that I kind of like I do, there was some positives to it. I don't want to say like it was awful and the worst book ever, because if I did read one of those books, I would tell you that. I would just be like, yeah, this is, I would have stopped reading and been like, this is dumb. But which other ones I have, which I'll talk about in another time, I'm sure. But I do like some of the metaphors that he does say. I just don't think that he said them in an articulate way like Mark Rashid does. And I think Mark gets it from Ray Hunt. I think that was his inspiration for sure. But I just think the way that Mark writes and like conveys his point made a lot more sense to me. Like in this book, he said, set things up for the horse. Like I like that. But again, that can be taken many different ways. So for me as a trainer, like I could see setting my horse up as creating a good environment for my horse to learn in, making it nice and quiet, setting things up to where he would succeed. So not riding him in a time where he's very worried, or maybe like when I'm starting a horse, I kind of use the fence rail a lot for like steering. So he can't necessarily go forward because the fence is there. His only other options, then it kind of shuts his options. So he doesn't have forward, he'd have right, left, and back. And if I'm picking up on my left rein, he's more likely to do that. So I'm, again, in that situation, setting him up. But just like my earlier example, I'm setting up the environment by, you know, maybe riding him at a certain type of day, or waiting until this weather event, like it's not windy. Like it could be taken many, many, many different ways. And I think that was my biggest problem. So and that's me personally, I like more how-to books and less zen, I guess, less abstract as far as the ideas, because one of his ideas was like, when the horse tells me, which I get that. Like I could see like when the horse starts accepting this part of the training or this behavior or whatever, like I understand that. But again, it leaves a ton of room for interpretation. So I think if I was confused, like a lot of other people are going to be confused, and it could go many different ways. And especially when I feel like you're trying to do anything with horses, there needs to be less room for interpretation so that everybody still feels safe. Everybody can move progressively toward their goals. That's just my opinion though. The one thing that he talked about a lot was, and I believe he came up with this, was making the right thing easy and the wrong thing difficult, which I know lots of other trainers use. I've talked about it. I know Warwick Schiller does a lot of that. And those are all good things that is a good analogy. But again, it leaves room for interpretation. So that's the probably biggest issue that I have with it, because when used in like, when used by certain types of people or trainers, it would be as little as maybe I would ask for an upward transition by the gate and I let my horse rest by the far end of the arena. So in by doing that, I'm making being by the gate, which is what he wants to do, more difficult, which is like making the right thing easy, which would be standing away and going away from the gate, and making the wrong thing hard. So in my eyes, the wrong thing would be going to the gate and being around the gate. And so I make my upward transition there. And then the right thing for me would be them resting away. But again, that leaves a ton of different room for different behaviors. Another person might see that as, okay, well, my horse is not going fast enough. The wrong thing is not going fast enough. So I'm going to like hit him with the whip until he goes faster. And then there's a lot of different timing and pressure and all different environmental cues that are all very, they're variables. They're all different. So again, even with that, I know it's a metaphor or it's an example, like it's not meant to be taken like seriously. I feel like in horses, it definitely could be. Like I like that example. Like I think that's a good training tool, not tool, but like, I guess it would be almost like a mythology, like your motto, I guess, making the right thing easy and the wrong thing hard. but it can be interpreted in the wrong way, I guess, is what I'm going for. And I'd have to be more specific for me. And that's probably just because that's how I learn. But I think a lot of other people learn that way. But yeah, so I like that one, but I want more details is what I really want. But the parts of the book that I do like, as I do like that Ray doesn't want his horse to fear him, and that you can't or you shouldn't make your horse do stuff. You should do things together. And again, I like that. I like all of those things that he has. He also talks about recognizing the smallest try. Like same thing that I said earlier, he does talk about it, but again, it was just kind of more difficult to understand, and I felt like Mark's book explained it better. The other thing I like is that he said, gain the attention before you guide the horse, which I do like. Now, for me, I like that type of, I guess it would be advice or like your, what sums up your method, I guess, more like you're making the right thing easy and the wrong thing hard. I like getting the horse's attention before you guide the horse because it's very much more specific. Like you can like point it at and do that exact thing almost. Like there's less room for interpretation in that, as far as I think. So I like that because a lot of times we're more stuck on, okay, is my horse going left versus going right? I need him to go this direction. I need to go down this trail. And we forget or we don't pay attention to, where is my horse thinking about? What is he thinking about right now? Where is he thinking about going? Where is his mind at? And I really liked that. I think that's a good like motto, I guess, preferred to the make the right thing easy one. But he also has some good stuff about visualizing. I really liked his preparation. He's always like, prepare your horse. Prepare to do things with your horse, prepare to make a transition upward or downward. I really like that. I just wish he would kind of go into more details, which I don't know if he has another book or not. I don't think so. He might, but, yeah, I just like details. That's my problem, I guess. I also liked how he wants to do transitions with rhythm and like using his body and his seat. I like that. Knowing where the horse's feet are, knowing which foot is in the air and how to influence it, and knowing that you can only influence the ones that are in the air, not the ones that are on the ground. I thought all of that was very good. And those were toward the beginning, and I was like, okay, this isn't too bad. And then I kind of, as I would get more into it, it kind of repeated a little bit, and then it got, again, like very vague. And so I kind of was like, okay, well, I'm halfway through, but this book's really short. So I just went ahead and finished it. So, and then like after his main part of text, he's got some pictures, and then he answers some questions, and most of them are pretty good answers, albeit though they are vague. So it's like, probably not super useful in like practical ways, the reason that I'm not mad about it, or like why I'm so like intense about it, I guess, is why I care about it so much. It would probably be the correct way to describe it, is that when I had my first horse, there was like different behavioral things that I wanted to sort out and fix. And like, I would either be looking in the library, or I would be looking through magazines because I didn't have internet at the time. And I was looking for all these solutions, and they were either solutions to other problems, or they were very vague, or I'd try them and they wouldn't work because I was probably doing them wrong. And one time I had written into, I believe, like Horse Illustrated, because I think they had like a problem solving like column in the front of the magazine. And I had described my issue with my horse, and all they sent back was, refer to like this previous issue to see like how to do it. And I was just like so frustrated because I could not find the information. Like I was looking in all the resources that I had access to, and I couldn't find it. So I think probably this is going to be more of an annoying thing for me, because I like to find the information, and I like to not, I don't need everything right now, but I need something to go off of that I can build on later and gather as I gather more information. And I felt like I didn't get that. And that's probably why I dislike this book so much. I need the how, and that's really important for me. The couple other things that I have were, I thought all his answers were decent, as long as you had to have a decent amount of experience, though. That was the key, kind of. If you're not super experienced with horses, I would just kind of wait on this one. And I had that same problem with a lot of like dressage books. I got them probably over 10 years ago, and I was like, I have no idea what they were talking about. But as I like learned and grew and had more experience, I'd come back to those books and I was like, ah, it makes sense now. So maybe this one's just going to be like that, and I need to come back in a few years, which I probably will. I do that with most of my books, and kind of check into it a little bit later. But if you're a super beginner, I would probably just skip this for now. That's kind of my opinion about it. But and then as far as the questions, I keep getting sidetracked. I liked most of them, but a couple of them, like, for me, like, that's not the, I guess, not the answer that I was looking for, because I kind of understand where he, like, the ideas he has, and the setting your horse up to succeed and making the right thing easy, those kind of things. But then when he would answer the questions, it was like, it wasn't that answer. So he had one question about, what do you do when the horse wants to go out the gate? And it was like, turn him with your inside leg. And I was like, kind of disappointed in that answer, because I was like, okay, that might work for a little bit, but you're really glossing over the actual root of that. Like, you might get a horse that's turning away from the gate a little bit, but you're not getting to the root of that problem. And that problem is that the horse doesn't want to be in the arena. He wants to be somewhere else, which he does talk about in another question where someone asks, what to do if the horse wants to go back to the barn. And Ray has a really good answer. He does say, make it difficult for him to hang around the barn. So it's a good, it's a better answer. It's more on that, like, ideas of making the right thing easy and the wrong thing hard. But it, again, was very vague. I wrote down, how do I do that? So if I was that 12-year-old me again, because I had this problem, my horse would want to run home. How do I do that? I don't know how to do that. I don't know specifically how to do that. And I think that's probably the sciencey side of me, where I'm like, because now I'm in, like, love clicker training, and that's what I do most of the time. And it's very set up. It's very structured, and it's very like, there's little charts and stuff that you can get online. I don't necessarily do charts. I do more of a, we've been working on this, and this is how many reps we are doing, and this is how good he's doing at the behavior. But it's very tracked and more scientific. And I don't, like, I know that there should be a balance between those things, because sometimes I'm just with my horse and I'm not thinking about reps and how many times he's given me the correct response. But for me, I also need to know that other side of that. I need to know, how fast is he responding? Is this reward valuable enough for this behavior? How many responses have been correct? Are we ready to move on to the next step? I feel like for me, all those things are really important, and that's why I didn't like the book as much. So yeah, overall, I thought there was too much room for interpretation. If you are looking for something that's very similar to that, and I believe Mark Rashid's book were inspired by Ray Hunt's, I would go and I would read Horses Never Lie, because again, I still really like that book. And I am going to go ahead and read his other books, but that'll come later on down the line at some point. But so overall, I don't think it was that good. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but that's my opinion. But if you want to try it, it is really short, so you could go ahead and test it out. I mean, I think my plan is to keep it and read it later on. It's been on my, like, to read list for years, and I finally found it at, like, a horse tax sale. So so yeah, I feel like I was probably just, it was overhyped for me, but I'm gonna keep it and I'll give it a few years and try again. But yeah, that's just kind of, those are my opinions. You can take it or leave it, but I like doing the book reviews, and I know this one was really close to the last one I did, but this book was really short. So I'll try to bring you a good training episode on how to fix some things, and then I'll have another one later on for you. So hopefully that helped you out.